Dvarno,
Tao,
Chaturbahus,
Trimekhala,
Hiranya,
Keshas,
Trayatma, Shruk,
Shruvari,
Upalakshana,
Tvetayam
Raktavarno Sao,
Chaturbahus Trimekhala,
Hiranyakeshas Trayatma,
Shukshu
Vad Yupalakshana, Tvetayam Raktavarno Sao, Chaturbahus Trimekhala, Hiranyakeshas
Trayatma,
Shukshu Had Yupalakshana, Tvetayam Rakta Varno Sao, Chaturbahus Trimekhala, Hiranyakeshas
Trayatma,
Shukshu Had Yupalakshana, Tvetayam in Treta Yuga, Raktavarna,
red
complexioned, Asau,
he,
Chaturbahu, four armed,
Trimekala,
wearing three belts, representing three phases of Vedic initiation. Hiranyakesha, having golden hair,
Triatma,
personifying the knowledge of the three Vedas,
Shukshruva Adi,
the sacrificial wooden ladle, spoon, and so on,
Upalakshanaha,
having as his symbols.
Symbols.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. In Treta Yuga, the Lord appears with a red complexion. He has four arms, golden hair, and wears a triple belt representing initiation into each of the three Vedas, embodying the knowledge of worship by sacrificial performance, which is contained in the Rig, Sama, and Yajur Vedas. His symbols are the ladle, spoon, and other implements of sacrifice. Purport. The shruk is a particular implement for pouring ghee in sacrifices. It is about an arm's length long and is made of a particular type of wood called vikankata. The shruk has a rod-like handle and a spout with a shallow groove at its tip that resembles a swan's beak. I think this class is going to be a little too boring for this little child here. Its front part is a carved-out spoon the size of a fist. The shruva is another implement used in sacrificial oblations. It is made of kadira wood, is smaller than the shruk, and is used to pour ghee into the shruk. It is also sometimes used instead of the shruk to pour ghee directly into the sacrificial fire. These are the Lord's symbols in Treta Yuga, when the Lord incarnates to introduce the Yuga Dharma of Yajna, or sacrifice. There's not much I could say about this, so I'm going to go right on to the next verse here. This is text 25. Tam tada munuja devam sarvadeya mayam harim yajhanti vidyaya traya dharmishta brahmavadina. Translation and purport. Actually, this is purport is by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, Vridananda Maharaj and Gopi Puranadana Prabhu. In Treta Yuga, those members of human society who are fixed in religiosity and are sincerely interested in achieving the absolute truth, worship Lord Hari, who contains within himself all the demigods. The Lord is worshipped by the rituals of sacrifice taught in the three Vedas. Purport. The residents of the earth in Satyayuga are described as having all good qualities. In Treta Yuga, human society is described as dharmishta, as thoroughly religious, and brahma-vadina, or faithfully seeking the absolute truth through the Vedic injunctions. However, it should be noted that all the exalted qualities of the people of Satyayuga are not mentioned in this verse. In other words, in Satyayuga, people are automatically perfect, whereas in Treta Yuga, people are inclined to become perfect through performing Vedic sacrifices. In Treta Yuga, human society is not automatically Krishna conscious, as it was in Satyayuga, but people are still highly inclined to become Krishna conscious, and thus they strictly follow the Vedic injunctions. Om Jnana Tamaranda Shya Giranjana Salakaya Chakshuram Mulitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Mukham Hudva Chalam Pungunam Vete Gurim Yakripa Padam Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarnam Vancha Kavati of Yuscha Kripa Sundri Vaja Patitanam Pavanevyam Vaishnavevyo Namo Namah Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasti Gaur Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. So it's mentioned here that in Satyayuga, people were so pure that practically they didn't even need to perform any sacrifice. They were just already so pure that yagyas for those who are impure. People in Satyayuga were so pure, they were practically on their way out of the material world. They were so pure. So in other ages, then more vice kind of moved in, Treta and Dvapara, and then especially Kali, which is the worst of the ages. But in one sense, actually it's mentioned that, believe it or not, that demigods are waiting in line to take birth in Kali Yuga because of the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That all one has to do in this age is chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. So it's actually very easy in this age. In other ages, they perform these huge fire sacrifices and very elaborate deity worship and meditation for long periods of time. Now we just chant Hare Krishna. But of course there's a quality to that chanting. We should chant attentively, not mechanically. Prabhupada gives the example of one man in a village in India. He wanted to learn English. So one friend of his had just come from the city. And he said, you know, I want to go to the city, I want to learn English. He said, well, if you're going to go to the city, you should know at least three words. Yes, no, actually four words. Very good. So he taught these words to him, yes, no, very good. So he went into the city and he was very happy, very proud. Now I'm in the city, I'm going to learn English, I'll be a success. So he's walking down the street. And there was some robbery in the street he was walking down. And the police were looking for the robber, and they came to him. And he said, and the policeman said, did you rob this house? He said, yes. So come with me. He took him to jail, put him in jail. And a few days later, he went before the judge. And the judge said, did you rob that house? Yes. Did anybody help you? No. Well, then you're going to jail for a long time. Very good. So this is mechanical. Didn't know what he's saying, so got him in trouble. So we have to chant the holy name with a desire to become purified. And what is that purification? That is freedom of material desires and the desire to serve Krishna. And Krishna is very powerful, he's very purified. Vedyam Pavitam Omkara. He says that I am that which purifies. He will purify. Pavitram. So it's not easy to be pure in this age. You know, there's so much contamination. But it's possible. By this chanting. And also other services. And if we chant nicely, then Krishna, he'll help us. He'll reciprocate with us. There's an interesting incident that happened in Gainesville, Florida. This was the time when Reagan was trying to become president. And there was a big presidential election going on. And at this time, devotees were having Harinam in Gainesville. Every Friday they have a big Harinam there on the corner of the University of Florida. And devotees were having a very fired up Harinam, about 20 devotees. And this one person who was rooting for Reagan, he saw this Harinam. So he thought, oh, these people are very fired up. So he decided, he pulled over and he got his sign, vote for Reagan, and he jumped right in the middle of the Harinam. Right? So people were driving by and thinking, I didn't know the Hare Krishnas were voting for Reagan. So the devotees, they didn't care, he's chanting, he wasn't chanting, actually he was dancing, so he was benefiting, he's dancing in front of the Harinam there. So one newspaper reporter, he drove by and he saw the sign, bouncing up there in the middle of the Harinam. Well, this is interesting, the Hare Krishnas are voting for Reagan. So he took a picture and there was a little article in the newspaper. And a couple days later, Reagan became president. Right? So, Krishna's mercy, right? So then, a few days later, someone put a picture of this person in the newspaper on Reagan's desk. And he thought, well, this person is very enthusiastic. So he told his Secret Service men to fly down to Gainesville, find this guy, send him up, he wants to have lunch with him at the White House. Now, generally, it's not an easy thing to have lunch with the President of the United States. But because he had pleased the President, therefore the President sent for him and he had lunch with the President. Of course, nowadays, nobody would want to have lunch with the President, but anyway, that's another thing. Hopefully the next one will be better. So, it's kind of like that. If we please a superior, then they have the ability to give mercy. So who's more superior than Krishna? So if we please Krishna by chanting his names, by doing deity worship, by distributing books, by remembering Krishna, then Krishna, he'll be pleased with us. And he'll also invite us back to the spiritual world and we can have lunch with Krishna. So this is the best person to have lunch with. And it's possible. Just like there's this statement in the Bhagavad Gita, Vita Raga Bhaya Krodha Manmaya Mama Bhashata Bhavo Gyana Tapasa Putumud Bhava Magata. That being freed from attachment, fear, and anger, many, many persons of the past have become purified by knowledge of me, and they have attained me. So Krishna, he's kind of encouraging us here that it's happened many, many times in the past. So it can happen to us also. And some devotees think, well, Kali Yuga is so difficult. I mean, the modes of nature pushing so hard. It's just so hard to control the senses. What hope is there for me to attain the highest level of pure devotional service and go back to Krishna? What is the hope? I'll tell you an interesting incident that happened to refute this argument. In Miami, Back in the early 80s, there was a very nice Indian couple. Very devotional, very fired up in Krishna consciousness. But somehow the lady, she got cancer. And the devotees were very distraught about this, because she was very dear to the devotees. So we were going there and having bhajans at the hospital there. And eventually the cancer got to advanced stages of cancer. So we were going there. We went there one night and she was pretty much on her way out. We stayed there for many hours, but eventually we had to leave. And about an hour later, her husband is standing next to her bed, and she says to her husband, "Do you see him?" And he says, "Do I see who?" She said, "Krishna. He's standing right in front of me, and he's so beautiful." And then she left her body, went back to Krishna. So it's happening within our society. It's happening. And even there's that incident of a devotee who had a mother who was not very favorable, and she was leaving her body. And just before she left her body, she said to her son, who was right there, she said, "Where is your Krishna now?" And then she left her body. And this devotee told Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, "She went back to God. She was thinking of Krishna. She wasn't a devotee. She wasn't chanting. But she remembered, by the mercy of the devotee, she was able to remember Krishna." So, this is very powerful. And the whole point of this Krishna consciousness is preparation, so that we can think of Krishna at the time of death. Now, sometimes I've heard this idea that, well, I'll just do my material life, you know, in this life, and then at the end of life I'll get serious and then I'll think of Krishna and then I'll go back to God. But Krishna's not stupid. Krishna's very intelligent. Oh, you want to just enjoy and then, you know, go the cheap way, then you just think of me at the time of death. But to think of Krishna at the time of death is not easy. By Krishna's mercy, this lady was able to think of Krishna somehow at the time of death due to the mercy of her son. But this is rare. We shouldn't have this idea that I'll just perform my material activities and then I'll think of Krishna at the time of death. No. And even in the process of sadhana bhakti, it's so nice. So even while we're trying to become completely Krishna conscious, it's nice. We have nice association of devotees. We have nice harinams, nice devotional service, nice prasadam. So it's a very, very nice process. One devotee was just telling me recently that the Buddhists, what they do in the Buddhist faith, very austere. They have to sit there in meditation. And every once in a while, the Buddhist, one of the head Buddhist monks, he comes by with a stick and he just hits you real hard on the back, and then you're not supposed to react. You know, this is a sign that you're going beyond the body. Right? Another one is they jump into ice cold, freezing cold, and they just sit in there for some time and then jump out, and trying to get beyond the bodily conception of life. You know, very austere. But our process is so nice. Yeah. Chanting, dancing, taking prasad. Yeah. Such a nice process. We're so fortunate. Yeah. The easy way back to Godhead. Yeah. We just have to do it sincerely. And Krishna, he'll reciprocate. And eventually, no more material body. Prabhupada mentions in one purport that the pure devotee does not have a material body because of his being surcharged of the current of Krishna's identical interest. So this is what makes us pure. We have to have the same interest as Krishna. So what is Krishna's interest? He comes and he tells us what his interest is. He comes and tells us how to get pure, how to go back to the spiritual world. Yato yato nishchavati manushchanchanamastiram tatastaton yamyadat admanyev samnyasram. He says from wherever the mind wanders, due to the flickering and unsteady nature, one must bring it back under the control of the self. We have to think of Krishna. Right? And Krishna says in the Uddhava Gita, I think it's a little bit later after this, he says, Dorjayanam Ahammana. He says, of difficult things to conquer, I am the mind. Very difficult to control, to conquer the mind. Very flickering. Even Arjuna, direct disciple of Krishna, he says, Chanchalam hi mana Krishna, Pramati Balavadrita. It's very flickering, just going here and there. And have you ever noticed that? Mind's going here and there, especially when we're trying to chant Java. You know, it's on the other side of the planet, and it's at our old house, and it's with our old friends. It's just like going. Sometimes I'm chanting my Java, and I'm thinking, where did that thought come from? Just like, these thoughts are just coming and going, just from all different directions. So, but from wherever it goes, we have to bring it back. We have to learn this art of bringing it back under the control of the self. And if we don't, if we let the mind keep going, eventually we're gone. And someone says, hey, where did that Prabhu go? I don't know. Because we didn't learn this art, we have to keep on bringing the mind back. And that's what the Hare Krishna mantra does. Keeps on bringing the mind back. You gotta learn this art, keep on bringing it back. And eventually, we'll become completely Krishna conscious. Prabhupada mentions that as we continue performing devotional service, our devotional activities, they build up. They build up and they build up. They build up. And then eventually, Krishna gives himself to us. Sometimes we might be a little discouraged that I don't feel myself advancing in spiritual life. I feel like I'm in the same position, maybe a little worse than I was. I may feel that way sometimes. But we may not be able to perceive how we're advancing. But it's happening. Just like a child, little children, they don't perceive so much how they're growing. It's like there was one little boy in Los Angeles. I used to tease him. I said, you're going to be a midget, you know. You're not growing at all. You're the same as you've been for the past 3 years. And he'd run to his mother and say, Mommy, Vijay says I'm going to be a midget. I'm not growing. Is that true? No, he's just playing with you. It's okay. You're growing. It's okay. So we're spiritual children. We're trying to grow in spiritual life. And we may not notice how we're growing spiritually, but it's happening. And even if we become very advanced, we don't feel like we're advanced. You know, the Uttama Adhikari, which is kind of ironic, he feels himself to be the lowest, that everybody else is more advanced than him, even the karmis. He feels, you know, Krishna Das Kaviraj, he says, I'm lower than a worm in stool. Anybody here feel that low? Yeah. We don't feel that low. But here is the Uttama Adhikari, highest level of devotional service, described the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so respected throughout the Vaishnava community, most respected. Feels himself so low that if anybody chants his name, they lose all pious credits. So if you don't feel you're very advanced, that's very healthy. You're doing great. If you start thinking you're advanced, that's a problem. So it's a nice process. Yeah. Free a false ego. This ego is the problem. This false ego is the problem. This is the real ego. Awesome. So we're trying to become free of this false ego, this bodily conception of life, and come to the real ego, which is that I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. And it's possible. We have to have this faith. And Prabhupada mentions in the purport in the Bhagavad Gita that a devotee has no doubt about Krishna consciousness. Why? Because he's completely free of all sin. And he says that this is the state of divine love. Beautiful little statement there by Prabhupada. No doubt, because he's free of sin. So there's gross sin, and then there's subtle sin. So now we're practicing this, no gross sin, right? But then there's still sin in the heart. So we're trying to also purge that out. It's like we're renovating our heart. When someone renovates a building, they call it gutting it, or they just take everything out of the building, completely renovate it, and then put new things in it. So that's what we're doing. We're completely renovating the heart, getting all the garbage out. Prabhupada mentions also, he says this bhakti yoga process is a process of forgetting everything that we've learned in the material world and remembering Krishna. It's all about forgetting all the nonsense, all the poison that we've gained throughout generations and millenniums and like that, and just remembering Krishna. So this is the bhakti yoga process. There's so many different types of yoga going on nowadays, right? But this is the highest yoga. Not this Bikram yoga and this yoga and that yoga, Hatha yoga, Dhyana yoga. This is the highest level of yoga. Yoginam api sarvesam madgitanantaratma sharavad bhajateyam samayutamurta. Says, of all yogis, he who abides in me with great faith, worshiping me in transcendental service, he's the most intimately united with me in yoga. He's the highest of all. Yeah, so this is the highest yoga. And when we reach that, we'll be completely satisfied. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Narada Muni was preaching to the Pachetas, he says, Dayaya sarvabhutesu santasya yenikenava sarvendriyo prashanchacha tusidyasu yar janardana. He says, you can very quickly please Krishna by doing three things. First is by showing compassion to others. This is the first one he mentions, which is also the most important. Because a devotee is para dukkha dukkhi. When he sees others suffering, it gives pain. So Krishna, he's also para dukkha dukkhi, kripambhuri. That when he sees others suffering, it gives pain. Prabhupada mentions that Krishna, he has one problem, only one problem, and that's us. In the material world. So therefore he comes to solve this problem. Yada yada hi dharmasya gvani bhavati bhart. Whenever there's a predominant rise of irreligion, decline in religious practice, at that time I descend myself. So we are meant to become instruments or assistants of Krishna to try to solve this problem. So these activities that we do in ISKCON that Srila Prabhupada has set up, this Harinam, Prasadam distribution, book distribution, this is all to assist Krishna in trying to solve this major problem. The problem is ignorance. It's an epidemic all over the world, every home. Disease, a major disease. Yeah. So we're trying to help people become free of this ignorance. Ignorance comes from this, from ignoring Krishna. So we're trying to help people remember Krishna again. Prabhupada is so Krishna conscious. One time Prabhupada was in his room and there was one lady in the room. And this lady, she had never seen this particular type of bug before that was on Prabhupada's table. And she said, "Prabhupada, look at this unusual looking bug here on the table." Prabhupada went down and looked at it. He said, "Well, chant to the poor thing." So she started chanting to the bug. There's another instance where Prabhupada was speaking to one devotee. And he said, "We should be so Krishna conscious that we should be thinking how to make this ant Krishna conscious." Prabhupada's so Krishna conscious. And now most people, I mentioned the thing about this yoga, so many different types of yoga. Now all these people that are teaching yoga, especially the Indians coming from India, basically they try to hide Krishna. Isn't it? No Krishna. Hide Krishna. They come and teach this and they teach that. You know, impersonalism and hatha yoga and this and that. But no Krishna. Just like there's been so many translations of the Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada said there's over 600 in English, but no Krishna. So therefore, Prabhupada called it Bhagavad Gita as it is. All these other Bhagavad Gitas, you can call it Bhagavad Gita as it isn't. No Krishna. Prabhupada used to say how this Dr. Radhakrishna said, "It's not unto Krishna that you must surrender, but to the unborn within Krishna." As though there's some difference between the within and without. So it's Mayavadi. So Prabhupada didn't hide Krishna. Even when the movement started, Prabhupada wanted to call it the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And one devotee said, "Well, Prabhupada, maybe we should be a little more vague, you know. Or not vague, but make it a little easier for people to grasp, you know, International Society for God Consciousness." And Prabhupada said, "No. Krishna has to be up front, in the middle." International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Yeah. And all these other groups, they always have the guru's name there, right? That's the main, that's what they know the movement by the guru's name. But our movement is known as the Hare Krishna movement, not the Prabhupada movement. Because Prabhupada wanted to emphasize Krishna. He wanted to make Krishna known throughout the world. And Prabhupada wanted it to be a household word. Right? So one time, there was one of our GBC members, Balavanta Prabhu, at that time his GBC, he was in his house. And his little daughter came running to her father and said, "Pita, Pita, Bugs Bunny is chanting Hare Krishna." So he said, "What?" So he went into the living room, and sure enough, Bugs Bunny is rowing a boat and he's chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. So you can't get more household than that, you know, Bugs Bunny's chanting Hare Krishna. So Prabhupada wanted Krishna known. He didn't hide Krishna, except for one time. One time, believe it or not, Prabhupada hid Krishna. Can you believe it? Well, he did. I'll tell you how this happened. Srila Prabhupada was in India. This is about 1971, when the first crew of devotees, his dancing white elephants, went to India. So there was one devotee, Shyamasundara, who had a little daughter. Anybody remember her name? Saraswati. Famous little Saraswati. So they went to one home, a very wealthy man's home. And this man liked this little Saraswati. She was Krishna conscious. She was a very nice little Krishna conscious girl. So this host, he liked this little Saraswati. So he gave her a little murti, a little silver murti of Krishna. So she was very happy to have Krishna. But Prabhupada, after she set it down on the table, Prabhupada said, this is not so good for such a young girl to have such a valuable thing. So he, somehow Prabhupada found another murti. So he hid this murti that was given to Saraswati. And he also had the other murti in another room. So Saraswati came into the room. And she was looking for her little murti of Krishna. And she's asking devotees, where's Krishna? And where's him? I don't know. And Prabhupada said, look behind the door. He may be behind the door. So she runs, running over to the door, looks behind the door, not there. Look behind the pot. Maybe he's behind the pot. So she runs over to the pot. No Krishna. Look behind the curtain. Maybe he's behind the curtain. She runs over the curtain looking for Krishna. And then Prabhupada starts chanting, Hey Radhe Raja Devi Ke Chalalite Hey Nandasuno Kuta Shri Govardhana Kalpapada Patale Kalindivanya Kuta Gosantavati Sarvato Vajapare Kedar Mahavi Valo Vande Rupa Sanatana Rabu Yugo Sri Jiva Gopalako. And the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, they were running around Vrindavan shouting, Krishna, son of Maharaj Nanda, Srimati Radharani, Lalita, where are you? Are you on the banks of the Yamuna under the kapha riksha trees? Where are you? This is the mood of the six Goswamis. So he was enticing little Saraswati to find Krishna. And she, her intensity was growing. She started crying, actually. She was so intense to find Krishna. And this is how we should chant the holy name, right? Prabhupada says this is like one is crying out to Krishna, crying out to one's mother. So she was becoming like so intense, she started crying. And then one devotee said, Saraswati, who has Krishna? And then she looked at Prabhupada and she said, Prabhupada has Krishna. And then he brought out this other murti. And she was very happy to have Krishna. So this is the one instance, the one and only instance of Krishna being hid by Prabhupada. So we're so fortunate that Srila Prabhupada brought Krishna. Yeah. Who knows where we would all be? Right? We'd be somewhere in the ocean of the material nature, being knocked around by the modes of material nature. Yeah. So Srila Prabhupada said, you cannot repay me for what I've given you, because I've given you Krishna. He said, but if you want to try, then preach. And there's many ways to preach. Harinam is preaching, book distribution is preaching, also prasadam. These are ways to repay what we've been given by Srila Prabhupada. So maybe I'll stop there. Is there any question or comment? Yes.
You mentioned the gross sin, but what are the subtle sin that we have to be free from?
Oh, subtle sin. Yeah. Well, There's gross sex life and there's subtle sex life. This is the main obstacle for everyone in the material world. So subtle sex is name, fame, adoration, and also even just thinking of the activity of itself. So this is the main obstacle to our engaging in pure devotional service. It's originally it was love for Krishna. Now it's been transformed into lust. And Krishna says, Kamesha, Krodesha, Rajagunas Mudva, Mahasana, Mahapama, Vidinamiva. He says it is lust only, Arjuna, which is the all devouring sinful enemy of the world. Born of the mode of passion, transformed into anger. It's the most difficult hurdle that we'll ever face. But it's possible. We have to chant very sincerely. If we chant sincerely, then eventually we'll realize, actually, I'm just a soul. This body is just a dress. It's a vehicle. It's such a... Maya is so expert. I mean, what do you think of the body? What is it? It's blood, right? A lot of blood. There's bones. There's liver. There's a heart. There's kidneys. There's stool. There's urine. Not a very nice thing. If this body, if the skin was transparent, it would be quite... It would be horrible to see. You know, if you imagine the skin was transparent, you'd just see the blood and the veins. Sometimes in these biology courses, they have pictures of the body, you know, showing the blood and the veins and everything. So this is the body. Yeah. And when we eat nice prasadam, nice halava, and pakoras, and samosas, and so many nice foods, right? But then how does it come out? Such nice, smells so nice, tastes so nice, but this body is so obnoxious that such nice food cells, when it comes out, the most obnoxious thing on the planet. So what's so nice about this body? Not so nice. Prabhupada gives the example that when the soul is in the body, it appears nice. Right? But without the soul, just like imagine there's two friends. One is, they're both about 18, and one of them is having his birthday, and the other one says, "You know something? This is your 18th birthday. I'm going to do something really special for you. I'm going to set up a date for you with Miss Australia." He says, "Oh, come on! You can't do that. That's ridiculous." He said, "No. I know her. I'm going to set up a date for you tonight. 7 o'clock, be ready, okay?" The guy's thinking, "Oh, come on." So at 7 o'clock that night, he knocks on the door, and he has Miss Australia there. "You see, I told you, Miss Australia, for you tonight, you could enjoy." He says, well, she doesn't look very healthy. "Well, there's no soul." "You mean she's dead?" "Well, yeah, it's just a minor detail, though, you know." So even Miss Australia or Miss Universe, without the soul, not attractive. Especially after 8 days, 10 days. Even a body so beautiful, so attractive, it becomes obnoxious without the soul. Right? So it's the soul that's actually beautiful. That's what's beautiful. Right? So why is the soul so beautiful? Because it's part of Krishna. And Krishna is the most beautiful. And the more we come in contact with Krishna, the more beautiful we become. And the more we become detached from this material, subtle sins. Okay? Of course, there's other subtle sinful desires, but this is our main problem. And I mentioned to you there was three things, so I might as well cover that. There's three things that I said that you can very quickly please Krishna with. I mentioned one of them, right? That you have compassion. The next one that Narada Muni says is that you're satisfied in Krishna consciousness. If you're satisfied in Krishna consciousness, Krishna is very pleased. Because we're in the material world, we're in Maya's kingdom. There's so many things that we could be doing in the material world, right? But if we're satisfied by chanting Hare Krishna, serving Krishna, Krishna is very pleased. It's like one of the subtle psychological pleasures between a male and a female is that the male is thinking that she could have chosen so many other men, but she's chosen me. And the girl is also thinking, he could have chosen so many other girls, but he's chosen me. So there's some subtle pleasure there. So Krishna, see, that's false ego. But Krishna also has ego. He has real ego. So Krishna's thinking, that person, that devotee could have been doing so many things in the material world, but he's just thinking of me. She's just thinking of me. So Krishna's pleased. He's very pleased. If we reject all the things of this world, then think of Krishna. Serve Krishna. He's very pleased. And the last one, Narada Muni says, is if one is able to control the senses, Krishna's pleased. Because as you know, there's that analogy in the Bhagavad Gita of the five senses. They're pulling the living entity like horses. Yeah. The mind is the reins, and the driver is the intelligence. The chariot is the body, and the soul is the passenger. And so we have to control the senses. Even Krishna says that even one of the roaming senses can drag away a person from the devotional path. So we have to control the senses. How? Krishna explains, you have to get a higher taste. If you get a higher taste in serving Krishna, then you can control the senses. Otherwise, it's not possible. The senses are so powerful. Even Vishwamitra Muni, so many great sages, lost control of their senses. The only way that the senses can be controlled is if we get this higher taste of devotional service. Otherwise, no hope. Because Maya is working through the senses. And Maya is so powerful. Krishna says, Daivi hesa guna mayi mama maya dhratiya mama viyeva panyate maya mitamdhratiya. He says, this divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is very difficult to overcome. But one who surrenders unto me can very easily cross beyond. So Maya is working through the mind and through the senses, and she knows each of our little desires. Right? But Krishna is more powerful than Maya. So if we take shelter of Krishna, Maya hasn't got a chance. Okay. Any other question or comment? Okay. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada. Keep.